Stand by.
This is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Gretchen, show number 57.
Ooh.
Heinz 57.
All right. Heading on 60, huh? Ooh.
Well, you're always looking ahead. Let's just try to get through 57.
That's very exciting, though. 57. Jeff.
Heinz 57. Made of 57 what?
Different ingredients.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Sodium.
Oh no, there's 57. There's 57 varieties.
No.
Yeah.
You can buy 57 versions of Heinz 57.
Heinz ketchup, yes.
I've only seen one.
I think that's what it means. Doesn't it say 57 varieties on it?
But where do you buy those 57 varieties?
Maybe online at the Heinz store.
Yeah. If I didn't turn off my iPhone, I could have checked it right here.
How are you liking that?
So this is the Heinz 57 of This and That podcast.
Is it still a chick magnet?
Is the podcast a chick magnet?
No,
oh, yeah.
IPhone.
Oh, yeah.
The iPhone, baby. Is it still a chick magnet?
Not as much.
Oh, now it's not. Not
now I'm
anymore.
Just shy to pull it out. That didn't sound right.
It's not a curiosity anymore, huh?
That still doesn't sound right. it's just, you know, it's actually people still say, how do you like the iPhone? And I'm just getting tired of like, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I like it. I bought it. I like it. Bought it. I like it. It's fun.
So I've heard two different stories. Apple, first I heard that it wasn't successful, and then I heard that it met Apple's expectations.
You know, I heard that it was pretty wildly successful. Not only are they selling a lot of them, but they're getting, you know, I suppose everybody's got a spin to it, right?
Right, right.
But what I heard is that they were getting a lot of people to actually get out of their current contracts.
Wow.
to move over to AT&T, which is more than what they expected. But wow. then again, that might be an Apple or an Apple friend spin.
Right.
So I don't know.
I know they've come out with a new generation of computers, because I'm thinking
yeah,
about getting
saw
one
that.
For $1,200.
Man, I'll tell you what. I saw it, too, and normally I just blow this stuff off, because I'm kind of a PC guy.
Right.
But I got the email, and I thought, another Apple product?
Yeah.
I like those Apple products.
Yep. Yeah. Everybody who is an Apple fan and just swears by them,
yeah.
just you know, would probably go to their grave telling you how great they are. So you got to say, okay.
You think it'd be their final words?
Yeah, buy an Apple product because it's really good.
Son, come here. Come here.
Got to tell you about this company called
one
Apple.
One last thing.
it's a good one.
It's beautiful. That's sentimental. Something that he'll probably pass down to his.
And I actually
generation.
Saw the first ad for that. Was it the T-Mobile phone that works on Wi-Fi in
oh,
your
you
house?
Saw that, really?
Yeah. And it was cheap. It was it $39.99?
Damn you, iPhone.
Yeah.
Damn you.
They're starting their ads.
I want to get that.
Telling you that they'll feature your working in your house on
yeah.
your Wi-Fi network.
Pretty darn cool.
That is cool. It's very cool.
Well, is that the technology part of our show? Because that's about all the technology we have. Actually,
that's right.
I think I do have some technology news a little bit later. But I wanted to mention something that I just thought was very funny, or really sad, whatever you may your take on it, maybe. This happened just shortly after we taped our last show. But remember the two helicopters over Phoenix that went
mm-hmm.
boom in the night?
Yep.
So they were chasing some guy. What do they have here? They were in pursuit of a stolen white stolen white truck towing a trailer. So they had the police already were on the scene, you know, pursuing this guy in a helicopter. Then they had the two news copters. So what I thought was funny, and the police chief said that the suspect, they finally got this guy on the ground, he will likely face criminal charges for the deaths in the helicopter crash. His quote was, I think he'll be held responsible for any of the deaths from this tragedy. So, I did some follow-up from
which
this.
Which is interesting when you think about that, right?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
He's not. He had nothing to do with the deaths of the helicopter guys. The helicopter guys were up there because
these were
for
the news,
money.
These were the news guys, not police helicopters.
News guys, right.
Because if it was a police helicopter, I would understand that.
Right.
But if
that would be
news
more direct.
Helicopters,
these were the news guys. Obviously
right.
not following the, you know.
Protocol.
The protocol. And who needs news helicopters anyways? I mean, every time you look at the TV, you're watching some chase that you don't care about.
Right.
So
what happened? Is he still being charged?
Well, I did some follow-up work on that, and I didn't see anything on it. So apparently they're still deliberating.
Wow.
So they may charge this guy for 4 deaths. And all I did was steal a car.
Wow.
I totally do not agree with that.
He's totally having a bad day.
Yeah. I just don't agree with it, though.
Well, what about the heavyset guy who wants to adopt the kid? And I think it's in Missouri. And the judge said that he's a foster parent and he wants to adopt this child. And the judge has said, no, he's too obese. He weighs 500 pounds. So a Texas university or a medical facility here has offered to give him gastric bypass surgery.
Really?
So that he can lose 200 of that. But he's afraid then the child will already be adopted by the time he's down to a normal weight. But it's sort of the same kind of controversy. It's like, did the judge overstep his boundaries, or was that okay to say the man is too obese? She thinks he will die at 63 based on all the actuary tables.
Okay.
Based on his weight, and that this child won't have a
how old is the fellow now?
The dad. The little kid, I think, was 4.
How old is
and
the father?
And the guy was, thought he was in his, I've seen him a couple times on TV. I don't remember, but he didn't seem terribly old.
I mean, right.
He looked like he was like in his 40s.
So it's 20-some years according to the actuary tables.
Right. But the judge said no. So.
Well, good for the judge. No, I don't know. I didn't say that. I don't know if that's really the judge's right to do that. But can I go on with my next topic? Because it's a perfect segue.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay.
Sure. I was talking about odd legal rulings. It just came off the top of my head.
Well, good. It's a good segue. See how close precision we plan this stuff? We plan this for you, our listeners. It's actually our producers. He's waving at me from the booth right now. I'm just kidding. We don't have a booth. We don't have a producer. What do you think this is? Had you fooled, though, didn't we?
And there is a band waiting to use the studio right after us, so we have to get out of here.
Yeah, he's like motioning. Hurry up. Quicken the pace. Get to your topics. Come on. Hey, this is what our audience likes, a little bit of the levity. Come on, you know? Producer guy thinks he knows. The man thinks he knows everything. Mr. Man. Well, let me tell you something. You don't know Dick, as in Dick Cheney, as in John Stewart's, what
oh,
he does
that's
every
right,
week.
When he does
you don't
them.
Know Dick.
Oh, God.
All right. Anyway, off the topic here. So, being unhealthy, fat,
yeah,
or otherwise, could eventually cost you money. Did you see this? There is a Clarion Health. It's a company that has employees, like most companies do. In late June, actually, I guess it's a hospital, Indianapolis-based hospital system announced, starting in 2009, it will fine employees $10 per paycheck if their body mass index is over 30, which is considered obese. If their cholesterol, blood pressure, and glucose levels are too high, they'll be charged $5 for each standard they don't meet. These will come off their paycheck, by the way. And ditto if they smoke. Starting next year, they'll be charged another $5 in each check, I guess, if they smoke. What's interesting is a lot of employment lawyers and so forth are saying this may be something of a trend. And the reason that Clarion just did this is because on July 1st, there has been some federal regulations. They issued final rules on how wellness programs could comply with the non-discrimination conditions of the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. That's HIPAA, which
right.
you may have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just reading this here. While the new regulations have been proposed for years, the final rules provide employers with some sense of security and more clarification on how they can reward or penalize employees based on specific health results. So, that was a thing. A lot of companies are kind of stepping back and waiting to see
what was
what this
happen.
Regulation. And basically, the government says, yeah, you know, you'll have some protection if you do this. And apparently, they defined a few rules around it. So I think it's kind of cool.
Where's that money going to go for those fines? Is it going to go to pay for their extra health costs associated with those?
Assumably, it'll help pay for the premiums. This article doesn't say that, but that would make the most sense.
Wow.
Unless it goes to the corporate fat cats.
It goes to their bonuses, right?
It could very well. So here's some more specifics on that. A Clarion, employees who have blood pressure that's above 140 over 90, blood glucose levels over 120, low-density lipoprotein cholesterol over 130, or a BMI over 29.9 could be subject to these deductions. Of the company, they have 13,000 employees. About 8,000 are enrolled in the health plan, and they estimate that as many as 34% of its employees will meet the definition of being obese. Mm-hmm. In other words, 29.9 or more BMI. Now, these fines will be waived by employees who can provide a doctor's note, sort of saying, hey, it's not advisable for them to meet the benchmark.
Now, what doctor is going to provide that note? Obviously not one that works at the hospital. Holy cow.
Yes, we don't recommend this guy to thin up. And
how do you recommend someone to say it's okay for him to remain obese?
Right.
Wow.
So I actually, I don't know about this because I agree and I disagree. On one hand, it's, you know, I think it's great to incentivize these people. And well, you can do the reward or the stick. We could argue about that endlessly. But this, right, this particular implementation is a stick implementation, which I'm okay with in theory. But right off the bat, doesn't it kind of penalize the fat, overweight, high blood pressure people unfairly? So I think what they should do.
What if they're given notice now to say you got a year and we'll help you?
Well, but maybe even a year. Okay, so I'm 250 pounds, let's say, and I got to get down to 175, for an example.
All right.
A year, that's awfully tough to do.
Yeah, you're right.
So what I do think, though, that they should do is have this, use a stick or the
carrot.
Right. To have increments of change, okay, instead of just absolutes. Okay, the 300-pound, if he gets down to, he needs to get down to 290 in a year, 10 pounds a year, you know? That's better than 10 pounds more per year.
Right.
So
right,
maybe that's the way to do it. And that, because some employees are saying it's unfair.
I'm sure that'll be challenged by lawsuits too, right?
Well, a lot of because a lot of employees are saying things like, how dare you? This is my personal space, you know? They don't want to be invaded this way.
Or they'll drop that insurance if they can and go with their spouses.
Right. Now, a lot of like HR people are saying, well, there may be more reward-based things than you know, pay cut. Pay deductions.
Wow.
So we may, instead of going another way, we may actually incentivize you for going down, for reducing and getting better health, which may be more favorable to employees. And the other thing it says, it's sort of like if you take things away from employees, especially depending, this all depends on how the job market,
right,
job market
that
is.
That would affect their hiring.
Yeah, could very well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, obese people and people with those conditions might not want to go there.
Right.
That's
right.
Interesting, because that's probably going to... What state is that? That's...
Clarion's in Indiana.
Wow, to think that's starting in Indiana and not one of the East Coasts.
Yeah.
You know, where you typically would see, like California, where you'd see people wanting to be healthier.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, let me just, before I finish this, let me get some other examples here. Western and Southern Financial Group, which is based in Cincinnati, it's an insurance company. They are issuing employees with high BMAs a surcharge to their premium. So you got to pay more if you're fat. Depending on their scores, employees are charged a tiered fee between $15 and $75 a month. Wow.
Wow.
They're really obese. But they can have these fees refunded if their numbers go down. Preventure, which is a provider of fitness and wellness programs for mid-sized to large employees, they reward their employees when their BMI falls from their baseline score and charges them more when the numbers rise. And then finally, United Healthcare. So it's interesting that a lot of these companies that are doing it are very in the health field.
Health business, yeah.
But
their business.
Yeah, it is their business. United Healthcare began offering a new plan targeted at small business, called Vital Measures, which combines a highly deductible insurance plan with a supplemental plan that provides discounts for healthy outcomes. Okay, so I was reading that wrong. United Healthcare is the provider, so they're helping small to medium-sized companies manage this. So members who choose to participate will receive $500 discounts towards their deductible for each cholesterol, blood pressure, and BMI level they meet. So it's definitely a trend, whether it's carrot and stick, mm-hmm. all kinds of different things can work, but I think we're definitely going to see a trend on this.
In Michael Moore's movie Sicko, he interviewed a UK physician who got bonuses based on how many of his patients quit smoking and lost weight.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So the doctor was incentivized to make more money by encouraging them.
Yeah. That's the right place to put the incentive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't be writing any notes to say it's okay for my patient to be obese.
I mean, the rest of us professionals are judged on our results. So why shouldn't a medical practitioner, if a guy comes in for a yearly checkup and his health gets worse every year, yes, one could argue that, hey, it's not the doctor's fault because, you know, a guy will do what a guy wants to do.
Right.
But on the other hand, maybe
But if you hear your doctor say again and again, you've got to lose some weight.
Maybe
you
know, part of it has got to be some accountability there.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Well,
there you go.
Speaking about...
How is that for a segue?
Rankings. And have you heard about the controversy surrounding the, you know, every year, U.S. News and World Report ranks the top universities in this country?
Right.
Well, now all of a sudden there's this backlash. It seems to me that the backlash is coming from the smaller universities that finish low on the list.
You mean the party schools?
How
come we're never on the list, man?
The ones that you never hear of that somehow get, like, they're just mediocre and they're down on the list, and now they're complaining that they don't even want to be part of this survey anymore, and that parents and schools shouldn't be concentrating on rankings. You know, it just seems to me that,
it's important to learn
grapes.
How to party too, man.
Well, if you're going to spend $40,000 on your kid's education a year now, don't you think some kind of ranking helps? You know?
Some sort of criteria. Yes.
So they talk about exactly how they rank these colleges.
Yeah.
And they assign the schools to groups of their peers, and that's based on standardized industry practices. And then
do they have, like, beers per student ratio?
Right. And then they looked at 262 American universities. 164 of them were public and 98 were private. And they had to offer a wide range of undergraduate majors as well as master's and doctorate programs. So they ranked top schools nationwide. They ranked liberal arts schools. They ranked master's degree programs, engineering schools, business schools, and best value schools. And they do that every year, and they've been doing it for many, many years.
Right.
So, I thought the criteria was interesting, and I just thought that these schools that are up in arms should really just shut up. And just because you're not at the top of the list, well, maybe you should work on moving up on the list.
Right.
You know, what's the problem with saying that lists are bad, which is what they were going on? They're going on TV.
It's always the people that aren't on the lists
that
say lists are bad. They're that are on the bottom of the list.
Well, I mean, they look at some of the things they look at. Actually, this year, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, University of Pennsylvania, California Institute of Technology, Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Party schools. Get some real
Duke,
schools in that
Columbia,
list.
Columbia and University of Chicago and Dartmouth. Those are the top 10.
They
were the party schools, right? Those are the best national universities. And they look at things like average freshman retention rate, graduation rates, faculty resources rankings, percentage of faculty is full-time, SAT scores, acceptance rates, overall alumni giving, graduation rates. I mean, they look at everything they possibly can, every which way you can rank a school. It seems like very, very difficult matrices to figure out.
Right.
But the schools
all
that are on it.
All bundled down into one score and one ranking.
Yeah, all one ranking. But then the top public schools are University of California at Berkeley, University of Virginia, UCLA, and University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. And then what's interesting, the best value schools, which is really important these days when school is so expensive, is that it's a percentage of people who receive grants based on needs. These are actually your best value and the people in the schools that give the biggest grants. Surprisingly, this shocked me, the number one, two, and three schools are Harvard, Princeton, and Yale. Who would have thought?
Wow.
The most expensive school, receive the most expensive, also the best, are the ones that are the most generous. So,
wow.
Yeah. So... It was interesting. Rock, 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 rock and roll high school. Well, I don't hear bad music. Rock, rock, rock and roll high school. Cause that's not where I wanna be. Rock, rock, rock and roll high school. I just wanna have some keeps. I just wanna get some cheeks. Rock, 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 rock and roll high school. Well, if the girls out there.
All right, well, speaking of college and chocolate and kissing.
Of course, we were just speaking about.
Did you see this in the BBC? Actually, this is like a month or two old, I guess. But some scientists actually did a comparison of melting chocolate versus passionate kissing. And they found that couples in their 20s had their heart rates and brains monitored while they did these things, and chocolate caused a more intense and longer-lasting buzz than kissing, and doubled the volunteer's heart rate.
You mean they got to eat it? Or just melt it?
Well, I'll begin to that. A little bit of both here. But Dr. Lewis said, there is no doubt that chocolate beats kissing hands down when it comes to providing a long-lasting brain and body buzz. A buzz in that in many cases lasted four times as long as the most passionate kiss. Now, you want to say, how did they get people to passionately kiss in this study? But, you know, I guess the young people in their 20s just want a passionate kiss passionately, so they'll do it anywhere. So, no, they said it wasn't a problem. Then they had electrodes attached to their scalps.
Oh, that's attractive.
And wore heart monitors.
Boy, that makes you really want to be passionate.
I know, nothing like an electrode
on your scalp.
On your scalp.
Come on, baby.
To get me hot. So the study also found is the chocolate started melting, because mostly they did have to melt the chocolate on their tongues. All regions of the brain received a boost far more intense and longer lasting than the excitement seen with kissing. And Dr. Lewis again said, although women are generally thought to be bigger fans of chocolate than men, the research found the same reaction to chocolate in both sexes. So,
that's interesting.
Yes. But they also said that this happens when you let it melt on your tongue. And I've never done that before.
I haven't either.
So I'm going to try that.
That's interesting.
That sounds pretty intense.
Better than kissing. So, next time you're looking for something to do.
You can do it at home. You don't need anybody.
Well, you can be playing with your iPhone, too.
So. Yeah, you can be. You can act like you're kissing your iPhone, but really you have your melting chocolate on your tongue. So there you go.
There you go. Well, speaking of, let's see, what should we speak of? Hey, where might we be in 25 years? We might be retiring, right?
25 years?
Yeah, in 25 years. Do you think we might be retiring?
Oh, boy. I hope so. I'd be pretty old.
All right, so if we're retiring in 25 years...
I should be retired by then. Won't you be retired?
Well, I know you wanted to retire last year, but say you need another 25
years. More years of this crap?
And you're going to retire, and you might need a nursing home. Where do you think you might be living?
I'm going to Mom and Dad's.
Well, say that wasn't an option. Where else do you think you might be living?
I'm going to Gretchen's.
Okay, say that wasn't an option. Guess what the new trend is?
I don't know.
Steadily growing numbers of Americans are moving across the border to nursing homes in Mexico, where the sun is bright and the living is cheap.
And the tequila's flowing.
And the tequila's flowing,
yeah.
Man.
Girls gone wild. Yeah, the old style version.
And it's taco night every night of the week, boy.
Woohoo!
Well, for $1,300 a month, which is a quarter of what an average nursing home costs, say, in Oregon, you can get a studio apartment, three meals a day, laundry and cleaning service, and 24-hour care from an attentive staff, many of whom speak English.
See.
And they're located in beautiful areas of Mexico on glimmering mountain lakes with
nice.
An average temperature of 79 degrees.
Sweet.
Isn't that interesting?
This is what I want to do. How young can you go?
Millions of baby boomers are reaching retirement age, and with U.S. healthcare costs soaring, Mexican nursing home managers are expecting way more American seniors to head south in the coming years. There's low labor, warm climate, and it's really easy to get to. And so far, 40,000 to 80,000 American retirees live in Mexico. But the number of people moving there yearly is increasing, especially coming from Europe and America. And it's all because of the quality of care and the fact that it's really a fraction of that in the United States. And the other thing, too, you can get, for like $140 a year, full medical coverage from the Mexican government.
Really?
So you can get all your medicine and you can get treatment. They interviewed one man who had surgery for gallbladder at a hospital in Guadalajara, and he paid nothing.
And can you get legalized marijuana down there?
Gosh, probably.
Well, I might get glaucoma.
Well, there you go. I mean, they have satellite TV, so they don't miss any American programming. Taxi rides are cheap if they need to go somewhere.
Oh, man, this is so perfect. So can we make reservations now?
See, there you go.
No, this is the way to go.
I just think that it's interesting, an interesting concept that Mexico, but typically there aren't many homes because the Mexican family usually provides for their aging parents. They don't send them away anywhere.
Right.
Whereas that's not what we typically do in the United States. So it's very hit or miss right now. It's not highly regulated. It's usually smaller homes that are converted, but there are developers who are getting in on the action. So there are independent living facilities that are starting to spring up in Mexico. There's a 250-unit condominium complex planned for Americans 50 or older. So you can take advantage coming up in a couple years, Jeff. You don't even have to wait that long.
I'm not 48. What are you talking about?
A couple years, baby.
I'm a spry young 30.
Couple years, baby. So American retirees can get a better quality of life and a better price than they can in the United States is what they're hoping to attract.
How about that?
Isn't that interesting?
It's
had
very
no
interesting,
idea.
And I want to go. I want to do it sooner rather
than
later.
Sign up.
It sounds like the high life. I mean, actually, given the amount of money it costs, I could probably go do it. I could probably go there now.
You probably could.
Yeah. I've been a good saver. I can hang.
You might get a little tired of the company, right?
I know.
With all the 70 and 80-year-olds.
Hey, Grandma, you're looking pretty good.
Yeah, we were just having that conversation, right, about who's the oldest person you've had sex with?
Yes, we were. This is
you could put a new meaning to that.
This is while Engineer Bob was in there running audio tests. So you missed a great conversation. Do we still have that tape, Bob?
Oh, yes, I think we do.
No, we don't.
We'll report back to us, Jeff, after you go down there, okay?
I don't think I ever responded about the oldest person I ever had sex with. You know, the oldest person I probably had sex with is whoever I'm dating at the time, because I really kind of date older and older and older. I mean, it's just kind of goes with age. I kind of always have dated around my age. So.
Well, you should try those older women. You might be pleasantly surprised.
With what they've learned about the skills of lovemaking.
Oh, God.
Oh. Like I need to learn anything more. I haven't learned it, but, well, I'm just saying.
Well, aren't we speaking highly of ourselves, Jeff?
No, I'm just saying if I haven't learned it by now, I mean, when the hell am I going to learn it? I'm not 22, you know what I mean? I mean, look, I'm sure there's a few positions out of the Kama Sutra that I could, you know, try and learn, but my body doesn't yoga size like it used to. So I suppose I could get more flexible, but, you know, it's nothing that I don't really know. Is there anything you think you don't know?
Sure. I would hope there's still things you can learn.
Really?
Sure.
Like what? This is more interesting than the program material I had prepared.
Now let's get back
to... Do tell. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's a lot of stuff I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, I stand corrected. I have much to learn, Grasshopper. Bring on those old ladies. Can't I learn from a 20-year-old?
Yeah, with a hot body, right?
That would make the learning much better for me. That would make the learning process more efficient for me. Hey, well, as long as we're still talking healthcare.
Yeah, that was healthcare, wasn't it?
Yes,
keeping
it
your
was.
Body.
Tip-top shape.
Tip-top shape, yeah. Relaxed.
This article is called Dr. Google and Dr. Microsoft. And this is, again... You know, you can always tell Google and Microsoft are good bellwethers for where to put your money.
Yeah, that's
true.
They're
putting their money in healthcare. So they're not really saying a lot. But basically, a Harris poll published last month found that 52% of adults sometime or frequently go to the web for health information.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 29% in 2001. So clearly more people are going
right
to their Microsoft Windows using Google to look up health information. Today, about 20% of the nation's patient population have computerized records rather than paper ones. And, hey, I'm going to say something good about the Bush administration here. And the Bush administration has pushed the healthcare industry to speed up the switch to electronic forms from paper stuff. Actually, that's a good thing. He's a great man. I love him so. Oh, if only he could run again. If only... All right.
Too
for
bad.
new listeners to the show, that was facetious.
Too bad Dick Cheney's not going to run.
You don't know Dick.
I don't know that. I know. I can't prove that.
You don't know Dick. And Dick Cheney, that is. So anyway, but the records are kind of, you know, right now it's interesting. They're controlled by doctors, hospitals, or insurers. Have you ever tried to get your health information?
Mm-hmm.
There's actually, you have the right to get your health information But you have to go through loads of bureaucracy and paperwork to get your sort of accumulated health information from all the various doctors you've ever had in your life. And what Google and Microsoft are trying to do, what they're saying is patients will ultimately be the stewards of their own information. Actually, this comes from a doctor at Harvard. Although the web is allowing people to take a more active approach to health, 58% of the people who look online for health information discuss what they found with their doctors in the past. So they're actually coming, a lot of these people are coming into their doctors with, you know, Google outputs. Well, doctor, I think this is what I got
here. Oh, yes, I've heard about this.
This pimple on my butt is this. It looks exactly like this.
Cancer. Everything leads to cancer.
Every road leads to cancer.
Every road leads to some type of cancer. Yeah.
So Microsoft and Google are hoping this will lead to people to seek more control over their health records using tools that the companies will provide. Now, as I said, neither of the companies is saying much.
Well, you sure don't want anybody breaking into those records, though, right?
Right, right. And I've got a technical take on this. Mm-hmm. But Microsoft's consumer-oriented effort is scheduled to be announced this fall. And Google has been delayed. They'll probably announce something towards next spring or something. But some people have seen a prototype of Google Health. They've shown it to health professionals and advisors. So these are all like consumer-facing, mm-hmm. both Microsoft and Google is. But it's highly tied into the medical industry. So, yes, it's more than just searching for pimples on your butt. You know what I mean? It's a fully integrated applications that have all your health information involved. It can be any, you know, it'll obviously be hooked up to schedules for taking your blood pressure medicine, to
when to see your doctor,
and all this kind of stuff. But they haven't said too much about it. The ones that have seen the Google Health, they've shown 17 web pages, including a health profile for medications, controls, and allergies, personalized health guide for suggested treatments, drug interactions, and diet and exercise regimens, pages for receiving reminder message to get prescription refills, directories of nearby doctors. At Microsoft, the long-term goal is similarly ambitious. It'll take actually, that did not sound ambitious, honestly. It'll take grand scale to solve these problems like the data storage, software, and networking model to handle vast amounts of personal health and medical information, said Steve Shehade, general manager of Microsoft's Health Solutions Group. There are not many companies that can do this. Okay, I have a technical take on this.
Okay.
Since the company I just started working for is a Microsoft service provider, Microsoft consultant. In other words, a lot of the consulting is around Microsoft practice. In fact, that's what it's called. The stuff that they said solve these problems like data storage, software, and networking. You know what? That's not that hard. We know how to do this. A lot of companies know how to do this. Microsoft certainly knows how to do it,
right,
especially from an enterprise-wide standpoint. Google certainly knows how to do it from a consumer-facing portal standpoint. Microsoft's trying to get in that market. Actually, these guys would make great partners in this thing. But the advantage that both of these people have is that they're on every desktop and every health professional right now. Your local doctor uses Google and probably uses Microsoft.
Right.
Even if he's using an Apple, he's probably using Microsoft technology somewhere. So they have access to everybody.
Right.
To me, the real... So all it is integrating all of these different systems. And we know how to do this. This is proven technology. What I think was going to cause the biggest problem is security.
Yeah, I was going to say the privacy thing is huge.
I think the privacy thing is huge. And how to do all this and having...
And not have people hack into it.
Right, right. And the other challenge, and this is where I do think you need the companies the size of Microsoft and Google to do this, is the healthcare industry, from what I understand, I'm not an expert in it, but it is complicated. There's lots of parties here, you know?
And privacy acts.
And privacy acts and regulations and just companies that are involved in the different parts of the whole value chain, right? So it does take a big company. They're going to have to partner with a lot of these companies.
Right.
They're going to have to get their confidence. They're going to have to partner with them. The technology part, in my estimation, is the easy part, except for potentially the security aspects of it.
I know a radiologist who reviews x-rays on at his home online, and he was telling me that he can't even have the people who work on his computers work on them, really, because it violates HIPAA laws.
Really?
Yeah. Even if they're servicing his computers, they can't have access, because they could have access to his patient's private records.
Right, right.
And that's illegal. So I can see managing all that data. Technically, those people wouldn't ever be able to look at it.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Well, yeah. It's very, maybe it is harder than it seems.
It's harder, but my point is this guy's kind of trying to make it sound like Microsoft's key to doing all this is their technology.
Oh.
And I disagree with that statement. I think the key to do all this, perhaps it's their leverage, but it's not their technology.
Right.
I think it's the difficult task of working with all these companies and providing the trust and the ability to actually, you know, put everything together. And, you know, giving them the business incentive to do that. So.
And you are thinking about getting a Mac when you work for a company that.
Yeah, you know what's amazing? So, yeah, in fact, when I first joined and
you're
brought my
really
little.
You're not really allowed to tell them that, are you?
And I brought my little iPhone. People were looking at me like, oh. Well, in fact, the person I joined with, she was like, did they let you have that? And I didn't know. I was like, why the heck wouldn't they? Well, you know, we only do is Microsoft here. It's like, really? So, at the exclusion of better technology? No. And so, as it turns out, though, we have a lot of graphics people and people that, what they call information architects, they're all using the latest Macs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Right. And they're the ones who swear by them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, it's not like a Microsoft shop. This company uses the best of the best. And, I mean, right now for the enterprise, Microsoft has technology that Apple doesn't. So that's probably one of the reasons why it's a Microsoft shop, but you know, uses the best of the best. So I was impressed with the overall, because if I didn't see Max there,
yeah,
and if, they'd be really, and if they threw my iPhone off the you know top floor, I would have known. But no, it's pretty cool. So yeah, Gretchen and I were talking about the fact that they just brought in a new iMac computer line.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even looked at those ads before. I never really thought about it because all I know is PCs. But now that I'm an iPod, iPhone, it's like I got the ad and I thought, computer looks cool, looks sleek,
yeah,
looks easy.
Uh-huh.
I like Apple. Me like Apple. Me likey Apple-y.
I know, and $1,200, and it has a lot of memory, right?
For $1,200. I didn't look at the specs.
2.4. Mega whatever. I don't know.
Mega what's this?
Whatever it is. Mega more than ever I'd ever need.
Don't,
storage.
Hey, just a clue, Gretchen. Don't go bragging at cocktail parties about your megawits. Mega, huh?
Megabytes. Mega gigahertz, whatever.
How many mega gigahertz do you have, baby?
I saw something like up close and personal. You know, I went to Alaska.
You want to talk about it?
I went to Alaska and I got to see. I really wanted to go to see glaciers, and so we go and we go to a famous glacier outside of Juneau called Mendenhall. And what was really really interesting is, for people who don't think that global warming really is happening, is this woman was in our party and she walks to the same place that she said she had been 15 years ago. She looks across the lake, she looks up at the glacier, and she says, you know, 15 years ago, that ice came the whole way down to the lake. And now you look and the ice is like way far back and up on the mountain ridge, and you sort of barely see it, and that's the glacier. And even the folks in Alaska say it's the ice is retreating 400 feet a year. And to think that 15 years ago it was so far down and so compact and so overpowering, and now you could, you know, had a hard time even seeing it. And then, while I was on my little trip, I heard about what's going on in the Arctic, which you've probably heard that there are now 5 countries claiming rights to the oil and gas exploration of the Arctic.
Oh, yeah, because now it's easier to get to.
Yes, because of global warming, the ice caps are melting. So now all of a sudden we're going to rush up there and drill for oil and gas.
Yeah.
And who is going to actually get the rights to do it? And you probably heard that the Russians planted a flag underwater
at the North Pole.
Yeah, they took a submarine and they went underwater and planted a flag in the Continental Divide and said this was theirs.
Well, I guess they get it then.
So then Canada sends their prime minister.
The flag is the winner, I assume.
Well, then Canada rushes their prime minister up to the Arctic.
In the submarine?
No, he didn't go in a submarine. He went on a 3-day trek to the region to claim ownership of the Arctic for Canada. The U.S., Norway, and Denmark are also competing for rights alongside Russia and Canada. Everybody wants the natural resources of the Arctic. So the Northwest Passage has been the main focus of the dispute, is becoming sought after thanks to global warming, because everything is melting and now we're exposing a potentially vast haul of natural resources. Experts estimate 25% of the world's undiscovered oil and gas lie under the Arctic.
Oh man, I was hoping we would be done with it. I really was, because I know we'll have alternate fuels. I'm not staying up night thinking, ooh, what happens when the oil is done?
Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. More. So everybody's outraged because they're saying this is a direct violation of the current international law that nations that ring the Arctic Circle must go no further than 200 miles near the pole. And environmentalists are expressing huge concern over a potential ecological disaster. So, well, stay tuned.
What's the ecological disaster? Global warming?
Well, no, I mean, can you imagine if there's an oil leak up there?
Yeah.
Just
well, why would that be bad? No one hangs out up there.
Like the Exxon Valdez. Oh, no polar bears would get it. No, walruses. There are things that live up there.
Paul was the walrus. I know that.
I know that now. It's bad news.
To our younger listeners, that's Paul McCartney and the Beatles and the song "I Am the Walrus." Paul was the walrus. God, you guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
Slow.
Thank you.
You bet. So you saw fat people on your cruise,
me. Man, lots of fat people.
What percentage of the ship?
60 to 70%.
And not just people, but families.
Families. It was mainly families because this was summer months, and that's when you can only time you can cruise to Alaska is between May and September.
Right.
And, the kids are out of school now, and this was the peak week to go because it's the warmest that Alaska will be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was... It was really shocking, I gotta say.
And you know, that window of going to Alaska is getting wider and wider and wider.
Yeah, now it is because it's getting warmer up there. So,
but fat people.
Lots of fat people.
Were they going from the buffet line to buffet line?
Yeah, they were. They were having a hard time getting off the ship. That's how bad it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Was there weren't buffets in the wilderness on the hikes and stuff? They would have gone then.
They probably would have. Yeah, it was shocking.
But they're mostly Americans.
Mostly Americans, yeah. Mostly Americans. Few Canadians, but it was by far an American cruise. So.
It's going to get to be that, you can always tell an American by their girth.
Unbelievable.
It's going to get that way, isn't it?
I think it already is, actually.
If it's not. God, that's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to be so girthy?
Well, because we have overabundance and we indulge all the time. All the time. So, anyhow.
Anyhow, so the trip was good?
Yeah, the trip was good. The trip was good. I enjoyed it. And,
good.
Yeah.
She was showing me some of her pictures before the show. We were having a laugh.
It's very green.
Laugh with Engineer Bob or Bill or Paul. I don't remember your name. Whatever. You're just the engineer. You're the guy in the booth.
It's
flipping the knobs. Ooh, how hard is that?
Hey, do you have Dallas news?
I do.
I actually have Dallas news.
Well, I have a little bit of Dallas news, actually.
And what's your Dallas news?
That's a good segue.
What?
Well, this is actually a New York and Dallas news. So this is amazing. This is from The Economist. Young women,
My favorite magazine.
Young women in New York and several of the nation's other largest cities who work full-time have now make more money than men.
Wow.
In their 20s, okay? The shift has occurred in New York since 2000 and even earlier in Los Angeles, Dallas, and a few other cities. Basically, so this only is happening among young college-educated women. And let's see here. It shows that women of all educational levels from 21 to 30 living in New York City and working full time made 117% of men's wages.
Wow.
And even more, and Dallas actually leads the country in this. Dallas, the disparity among 21 to 30 professionals is 120% over men. Now, nationwide.
How does that make you feel, Jeff?
Inferior. I need to go in for a raise. Nationwide,
But wait, you're tall, and you made more because you were tall.
That's true. Nationwide, that group of women made much less, 89% of the average full-time. So why, you may ask, right? Many economists are debating this. They don't really know, but there's some theories out there, as economists are wont to do.
That's right.
Major reason is that women have been graduating from college in larger numbers than men, and that many of those women seem to be gravitating towards major urban areas. Now, get this. In 2005, 53% of women in their 20s working in New York were college grads, compared to only 38% of men at that age.
Wow.
So to me, that sound like a very high correlation, and
right.
that does make sense as a reason. There's probably some other things going on, but that's got to be a big one. And many of these women are not marrying right after college, leaving them freer to focus on building careers. And in fact, the article goes on to say at one point about concerning that point was that a lot of younger women are coming out with more. Apparently, they're taking less time between college and like law school and things like this. Apparently, men take more time. And they interviewed one woman, and she said, "Well, I like to think it's because women know what they want to do faster,
yeah.
But it's not always the case." And her speculation was, women know that they got the biological clock, and they need to get a career started and going, and then babies. So that kind of sounds bad. It's like everything is on this tight time clock because of the baby thing. But anyway, so women are sort of finishing their professional education sooner than men. So yeah, they're making more money, you know, 3-4 years out. Cityless college. This also happens. This is very different in the suburbs. Suburban women still make less than men. It's only a city thing. That's the same true for Dallas, too. Citified college women. Citified.
Citified.
That's what it says. Citified. College women are more likely to be non-married and childless compared to their suburban sisters. So they can and do devote more of themselves to their careers.
That's very interesting. I wonder if that will close the 75-cent to a dollar wage gap that currently exists between men and women overall.
Well, that's what they're wondering. But let me keep going on this. So in 1970, all New York women in their 20s made $7,000 less than men on average. By 2000, they were even. In 2005, they make more. Women in their 20s also make more money than men in Chicago, Boston, Minneapolis, and a few other big cities. But in Dallas is the largest.
Wow.
So that's my little Dallas news. We have the largest disparity here.
Well, I have Dallas news, too.
No, I'm not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not done.
Okay.
You were asking me about something. What was it? Oh.
The closing the wage gap.
Well, will this actually extend? And again, economists are divided about this issue because maybe this is probably where it starts, right? In their 20s. Is it going to widen the gap or...
Is it going to close up as they have kids?
Is it going to close up as they have kids and drop out?
Right.
So, which is typical.
Which is typical. Right.
That's what happens. So they don't know yet. We'll wait and see.
But if there's more of them taking higher paying jobs or competing successfully with men, even if the same percentage drops out, there'll still be more left.
Possibly so.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, I know.
And I was thinking maybe they were choosing other careers that were paid higher, like engineering and your typical female careers, like English and teaching.
Well, I've got some stuff on that. Young men in the city still make more than young women in a number of jobs, including psychologist, registered nurse, high school teacher, bank teller, and bartender. In high-paying Wall Street jobs, men heavily outnumber women, which is one reason that one of the economists up there described the women's wage gains a surprising finding, you know? But in jobs that were once defined as male preserves, police officers, private investigators, men and women make the same wage. And women in their 20s now make more than men in a wide variety of other jobs. And here is what, towards your point, doctors, personnel managers, architects, economists, lawyers, stock clerks, customer service representatives, editors, and reporters. They make more. Yeah.
Wow.
Again, I don't know if we really know why.
Well,
but maybe, who knows?
That's interesting.
Hopefully, it'll be a trend that will not last.
Oh, you go, girls!
No, that
has to keep going.
This can't be good for the continuation of a ordered society. Right?
The men and women actually make what they're make comparable for the same job.
See,
heaven forbid we had that happen.
I had an observation from a friend of mine about our show. I shared this with you, Gretchen, that they love our chemistry. Everybody loves our chemistry, but they said that we're really good when we sort of disagree, and we don't disagree enough.
that's right. We don't disagree enough.
So I disagree with this study. Now. And I have at me.
Completely support that study. You know that. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, that was a good little argument.
That's fascinating. Go Dallas. Wow. And you know what Dallas is too? It's one of the most courteous cities for driving.
No, I definitely believe that. People complain about driving here. Oh, we're bad drivers.
No,
but I swear,
city.
I have never had a problem getting into a lane when I had no business getting in by waving and smiling.
I know, or you just point if you make a mistake.
You never would do that in New York or Boston. You could never do it.
That's right. So the worst cities for road rage, Miami, New York, Boston, L.A., and Washington, and I've lived in two of them, and I can assure you the drivers are aggressive and not pleasant. And here are the most courteous cities, Portland, Pittsburgh, Seattle, St. Louis, and Dallas, Fort Worth.
Woohoo!
Go Dallas! Woo!
Go Dallas, go!
And speaking of Dallas, wait, I have something else. Guess what I did last weekend? Something I would have thought I never, ever, ever would have done. But
you went
I went to a rodeo.
Oh, cool. Did you go to the Mesquite one? Or?
Yes,
I've been there.
You've been there?
Yes. How did you like the smell of the rodeo?
It didn't smell at all.
Really?
It was air conditioned. It was
inside. Because I've been twice, and boy, does it smell like manure, those
didn't
things.
Didn't smell anything. Didn't smell at all.
I guess I've been downwind every time I go.
Maybe, but I was really
That's
surprised.
That's fun.
I didn't realize it was complete family entertainment here in Dallas.
Yeah.
Had no clue. And it was 2 hours, and it was completely clean. Yeah, it's very interesting.
You see any clowns get gored?
No. No. But I did see some
Every now and then that happens.
I did see some women win some races. They were competing in men's classes and some women won. So there you go. And they actually had in their little brochure, what do you call it? The rodeo bulletin that you can buy, you know, the souvenir program.
Right. You bought one?
No, my friend did. I had a friend in from out of town, and we did the rodeo experience. They had, like, the top wage earners, and it's interesting disparity, but, like, I think the highest was 140, and maybe the lowest was, like, 75. And there were some women in that group, too.
Wow.
So women are just penetrating all the ranks and breaking the glass ceiling. Are
Men
you
should
scared?
Be doing the penetrating. Not the women.
Oh, and one thing coming up this Friday and Saturday, women, the Fashion Industry Gallery has their sample sale.
Now the
really,
women are
really
take over
good.
Fashion, too.
It's really excellent. Jeez. It's open to the public. It's at the Fashion Industry Gallery building. It's downtown on Ross Avenue. It's $12 to get in, and you have to bring a lot of cash because they only take cash.
But are you going?
It's really good deals, yeah. And it's really mainly women's clothes. There's very few men's clothes.
So really men out there, good place to meet the ladies.
Yeah, there you go. A lot of women. A lot of women shopping, so a lot of women in good moods. So,
there you in good moods. Bring your chocolate, guys.
That's right. Chocolate and...
Bring your chocolate and
chocolate
pucker.
Chocolate and sales, boy.
Bring your chocolate and your pucker. You'll be in good shape. Well, I only have one more thing, actually.
Okay.
So, just a little pet peeve. Not a pet peeve, but I think something I'd like to see the world go into. Now that I'm iPhoned, I have all my calendars in sync. And this is the time of the year.
How many calendars do you have?
Work, computer, home computer, and iPhone.
Okay.
So, you know, you just got to be in sync all the time.
Okay.
So, one thing I've noticed is that this is the time of the year. It's August. It's time to start getting all your opera tickets, your season tickets to the... Or, you know, your tickets to the symphony, to the hockey, to the basketball, to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm probably talking to a crowd that just, you know, people, I think I'm the only goofball that buys tickets like this, you know, season tickets and stuff. Because no one else I know does this. Except for you do.
What's your point? What's your point?
My point is, I don't like to add each of the season ticket that I have to my calendar manually. I want the Dallas Opera, the Dallas Symphony, the Dallas Stars. I want all these people to just offer a simple little interface that says, hey, download this to your favorite calendar application.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, isn't that a great idea?
Yeah,
so simple.
That's a good idea.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, the whole schedule, just what you pick, right? Because you can go to the Symphony and buy all kinds of different packages.
Right, right.
So the final thing is, okay, would you like to download this now to your favorite electronic calendar?
Right.
So anyway, so that's my little... thought of the day.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So how many?
I love that.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Because I end up always entering a manual.
But you're right. It probably is a small percentage of people that have your problem.
I know. I know. I know. And it's not that much of a problem to enter a manually. But I was just thinking it'd be nice. And like I was looking for a Dallas Cowboys schedule, downloadable schedule for my Outlook.
Right.
And I found it in one place, and it was all full of advertising. I was like, come on, that'd be so easy to just somebody to put in there.
Right.
DallasCowboys.com should have that, and they
maybe
didn't.
Maybe you should offer this service for all these different organizations, Jeff.
Holy crap.
There you
That's
go.
That's a business model.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to take that one off. I'm going to make a million and then move to Mexico.
Well, think about how many cities you could do that in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
You could do it in every city.
Every city.
Every city could have one because every city has all those things that you're talking about.
I could put them together by hand and charge that. Well, and charge. I mean, I don't know a better way. I don't know the technology enough, but I'm sure I could figure it out. And then charge advertising. I like it. I like it. The only problem I'd have is, you know, when you go to the symphony, for example, and you say, okay, I want to go to all the piano concertos.
Right.
And I want these two things, too. So you get the specialty package.
Right.
The only thing I could offer as a third party is the whole season. So I don't know how I'd do it. But maybe I could just have a little checkmark interface.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Why am I designing this on the air?
After page that measured the months and marshaled the day and all that I've done is written right here. There's only one way to finish the year.
Well, let me tell you what I did last week, because there's all kinds of turmoil in my industry, and it's really
little thing called toys in China.
Oh my God, a little thing called lead and paint. Yeah, yeah, I'm in the toy industry, and I'm up close and personal with this issue that's been dominating the news for the past 2 weeks. So I thought I'd just give you my little take on it, because it's so much, well, it's a lot of, I guess I should say, that the media has made this, granted it's a huge recall and it is a big problem, but the media is definitely making it a big problem, as are the class action lawsuits for the fact that no child has been injured.
Well, I was telling you beforehand, it's on Jon Stewart now, and boy, they're...
No child has been
they're
injured.
They're having a blast with it.
By this lead in the paint.
I mean, even by Jon Stewart, if you just get your news from Jon Stewart, you would think this is like the Chinese are bumbling idiots, and they can't make anything.
Well, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, there's been two recalls by Mattel in the past 2 weeks. On August 2nd, they recalled 1.5 million Fisher-Price toys. Most of them distributed in the U.S., almost a million of them, and then another 500,000 around the world. And they featured, you know, Elmo and Big Bird. And so now there's editorials out called Poison Me Elmo, which is an excellent title. Excellent
That's
title.
Funny.
And then on August 14th, Mattel recalled 19 more million toys, 436,000 cars.
Diecast
vehicles from a Disney movie.
No, it was like one character too.
Sarge.
Sarge.
And then 18.2 million toys recalled for magnets, which the magnet issue has been going on for a couple years now, and there have been children have died in the magnet issue. But
are these magnets that come off? And
yeah,
they
they're small magnet. No, yeah, they, if you ingest two and you're a small child, and they can.
Oh right.
They
right,
can
right.
Make your intestines attach together, and it was very hard to diagnose, and that's why the first couple kids died. But now there's all kinds of warnings on them, and the technology's improved, and they're not coming out. But still, this was a retroactive recall for toys that had been out there from 2002 to 2006. So they decided to do it all at once, and they haven't ruled out that there won't be more recalls. But this is just a long, long string of recalls about Chinese-made goods, and it started with the contaminated pet food ingredients, the wheat gluten. Then it went to children's jewelry, again with lead. Then defective tires, tainted toothpaste, seafood. Just the list goes on and on and on about these export scares.
You have been over there. Obviously, you're protecting your company, but you're over there a lot. You're exactly in this. You're so close
I'm
to this that you know this, actually.
Right, I am living this.
So what's the reason for all the problems over there?
Well, it's because it's really hard to... it's just an interesting mentality that the Chinese have, that down to the penny and the nickel, they are very conscious about costs and making nickels and pennies. And they were amazing recyclers, only because by definition they don't want to throw anything out because they know it's such a hard life for most of them. It is a third world country for the most part, and now there is a middle class definitely developing, but you just don't see, like, people don't throw cardboard away, they don't throw glass away. It's just, everything is reused, and it's hard to even get a good strong box because they use so much recycled material in their packaging. That's just the whole mentality. So the mentality is, even if we say, our little company says, you're going to, every single thing we produce is going to be safety tested, and the tests include flammability, toxicology, mechanical hazards. They're very thorough. You test a portion of every batch or every order you make, but you destroy the toy to make it. Just like if you were testing a cookie, you eat the cookie, so you can't test every single toy. You can test representatives from the batch. So in Mattel's, in both instances, they had procedures in place, but they weren't followed, and it was all to save a dime. And that's what was interesting. But as you know, what you've heard about this, the first recall was their supplier was called Lee Durr, and the owner of Lee Durr committed suicide in his factory, That was on August 13th. Well, it's highly suspicious that he committed suicide. He was actually buying the paint from his best friend.
Right.
And apparently it was, and this was a company that had a 15-year relationship with Mattel. They did their own audits, and they had records that showed that the paint was supposedly safe, but it turns out that it wasn't. And it was just, it's a lot cheaper to buy paint with lead than to buy paint without lead. So somewhere along the way, somebody wanted to make some extra money, or maybe there were kickbacks involved, so they would turn their heads. So he committed suicide, and I don't know if you recall, though, back in July, the head of China's Food and Drug Administration was executed for dereliction of duty and taking bribes from drug companies. So that was back. That was right after the shrimp and catfish and that whole debacle, and the wheat gluten in the pet food. He was killed. So everybody's sort of thinking that perhaps this man did not commit suicide, that perhaps he was sort of knocked off so that the information wouldn't go any further. And then the second recall, the second company that was just involved, this is the Sarge cars from the Disney movie, that they are a company called Early Light Industrial, and they have 40,000 workers. Now get this, Mattel has 30,000. Early Light Industrial has 40,000. They export to more than 20 overseas companies, including Hasbro, Mattel, MGA, which makes Bratz dolls. And the man who owns Early Light is known as Toy King. His name is Francis Choi. He is ranked number 38 on China's billionaires.
He's got to be looking out for his life.
This man is the 38th richest person in China. He owns $1.1 billion worth of assets.
Is he going to get executed?
Well, there you go. He's in hiding right now.
Is he really?
Yeah, he subcontracted, Early Light subcontracted the painting of the toy to Hong Li Da, also in China. And Hong Li Da was supposed to use paint from Early Light, but instead they used paint from another supplier, and they circumvented Mattel's safety procedures, and that's hence how it happened. So the procedures were in place, but they did manage to get around it. But what's really interesting, so 65% of Mattel's toys come from China. Overall, the whole industry, 80% of the toys in the world come from China. And so I've been reading everybody's comments about it, and it's like, oh, it's talking about corporate greed. Well, excuse me. All right, let's talk about the consumer who demands the toy, a cheap plastic toy, cheap. Okay, we're talking about corporate greed. No, I think we're talking about the fact that your $12.99 Dora the Explorer toy that you buy at Toys R Us or Target or Walmart would actually be probably $30 to $40 if you were going to buy it from a worker in the United States that made $12 an hour, as opposed to the worker in China that makes $1 a day. And that's considered a very, very good wage.
Right. When I was working for American Airlines, it always used to bug me, as like, oh, these airlines are so cheap. Why don't they make the seats bigger? Why don't they give us better food?
Mm-hmm.
And every time the airlines tried, consumers would hate it because it cost more money. They wanted the cheapest possible flight to get from point A to point B. They consistently, in marketing polls and through their actions, never would pay for the food or pay for the big seats. They never would.
I know. And that's what's so funny here is that you're saying all these people, oh, I'm going to buy America now. Will you try to find a toy that's made in America?
Well, and they wouldn't. They wouldn't pay the.
They wouldn't buy it anyhow.
Buy it for four times as
much. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. So I just think it's absolutely don't be looking at the companies because they're giving you what you're demanding.
Exactly. It all comes from the consumer.
Especially when you go into Walmart or where the margins are super thin and Walmart tells the manufacturer what the price has to be before they'll purchase the goods. It's just unbelievable. And now Mattel is facing class action lawsuits. RC2, who makes Thomas the Tank Engines, and they had the massive 1.5 million unit recall
right.
in June, they're also facing recall. So the lawyers are getting in on the act, which is another part of American culture that it's like so far, no children have been injured by these lead and paint. These two specific
recalls.
Is that
right?
Yeah, there's two class action or multiple class action lawsuits, allegations of negligence, unfair and deceptive trade practices, and people asking for funds to medically monitor children who played with the toys.
Oh, come on!
I know, isn't that unbelievable? Now, granted, you have to suck on these. You would have to suck on these toys for God knows what length of time
really?
To even ingest this lead that everybody is saying is this is just horrible, horrible, horrible. And then here's where I've been fielding calls all this week. People call and they're asking us, tell me your paint has no lead in it. Well, nobody realizes, and the media hasn't made this very clear, that there are acceptable levels of lead allowed by the U.S. government. It's actually a very low limit. It's 0.06, but that is what it's allowed to be.
And Gretchen, aren't you actually sucking your toys?
I suck them all the time, you know? But it's just, we test them. So this week
she calls a test, but she's really just
sucking on it to make sure, my tongue doesn't turn purple or fall off. But there are acceptable limits of lead. And so when people call and they say, tell me your paint has no lead, well, obviously we can't answer that. So we can say.
So what are you, just silent?
No, we have to say that it passes all U.S. standards. And we list the standards. There's Code of Federal Regulations. There's ASTM, F963. We list every single thing that we pass and we test for, and yet it's not enough because people are just appalled that I can't say it contains no lead.
It's kind of the same theme as our bottled water last week, isn't it? I mean, it's just consumers think that it's tap water is unsafe. Now consumers, because of all this stuff, think any lead is unsafe, and they don't know the reality of it.
Yeah, it's amazing where you can find lead is a heavy metal. It's added to paint as a pigment. It speeds drying, increases durability, retains a fresh appearance, and resists moisture that causes corrosion. It's been banned since 1978 by the CPSC because it really is toxic to living organisms, especially children under six whose bodies are still developing. It can damage nervous system, hearing loss, stunted growth, reduced IQ, and delayed development. The worst paint was in lead-based paint in people's houses in housing, and that's where kids would eat the lead chips,
right,
and then they develop all kinds of issues. Well, that's primarily, it is still an issue, but not as bad as it used to be. Not necessarily from these toys, but there are applications where lead in paint is perfectly allowed and legal, and those are industrial applications used by the military, and sometimes even your roads and the lines in the middle of the roads and the lines in parking lots have lead in the paint.
Because they figure you won't lick those.
You're not going to be licking those, but actually there are applications where you need it. So,
I've been licking
because everybody's
stuff.
Saying to me, well, why can't there just be no lead in paint? Well, it's not as easy as that.
Right.
So, anyhow, it's just been what I've been dealing with all this week, and I just have to say that everybody's saying, well, why can't we move production? Do we have to go to China? Well, it sort of depends wherever you're going to go. And then the other thing now we've
got. Plus, you have wonderful infrastructure there. The reason that you've had these failures is because some companies over there, some human beings, have made decisions.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's not because that there's inherently bad manufacturing there.
Right.
In fact, you've got so much toy expertise, you could argue, over there at this point.
That
it would really be silly to change.
There are 5,000 toy factories in one little area of southern China alone. That's where the majority of toys come from.
It's like the North Pole.
It's called Guangdong. That's right. That's the majority of where the world's toys are made.
All the little elves.
But there are people who do it right. McDonald's, for example, is one of the world's largest toy suppliers because of the Happy Meal.
Mm-hmm.
They say that they know how bad the lead paint problem is. So years ago, they developed a system that they monitor the paint all the way back to the supply chain to the paint suppliers. And they require their Chinese toy makers to only buy from those suppliers, and they continually monitor those suppliers, which is exactly what Mattel had in place, yet they circumvented the system.
Right.
So no matter how hard you try, there's ways around it if you want to. And then the other thing that I've been been hearing a lot this week is, I don't know if you know it, but there are home-based lead test kits that you can go out and buy, and now they're all over the web taking advantage of test your Mattel toys for lead, and they don't work. They're not even 60% accurate. We've tested them on things that we know had lead, things that didn't have lead. They come back with false positives.
Oh, my God.
The CPSC has said don't use them, and now I'm getting people who are calling to say, well, we tested your item with our home-based test kit for $19.99, whereas the tests we do are done in a controlled, clean lab by an independent third party. The machine they put them through is $250,000. It's a biologist chemist who's doing the test, and they're the ones. And there's two different tests: one for soluble lead that indicates it's exactly what was in a child's stomach. The exact.
All right. So, so you're on the air talking to thousands of people right now. So, can you tell me that it's okay for my 2-year-old to lick your toys all day?
Well, we don't really make toys.
We make your furniture.
Yeah, and it's like,
to make your painted furniture. I'm going to take my 2-year-old. Yes, your 2-year-old's going to lick it. Would you let them?
Yes. Yes, I would. And I'd say most of the toys in the United States are vastly safe.
Are lickable.
Yes, they are. It's just, you know.
It's all because a couple of kids died in the 70s from eating a couple of paint chips, isn't it?
Well, and there's lead in jewelry, too. There was a lot of lead in jewelry, and I think one child may have gotten, there's a lawsuit, lawsuits based on the lead in jewelry, but jewelry's a little more different than, you know, toys or furniture. But
I'll tell you what, though, you know, in this country, especially, if a couple of kids die of anything, it's huge. If a couple adults die of something, I've never understood why kids are more valuable than adults. I don't get it.
But are you even hearing on the news, too? You know, there's 6 miners in Utah that are trapped.
Yeah.
And in China, there's 170 trapped when a dam broke and flooded the mine.
Yeah.
500 got out. 170 are still trapped. And do you hear the same amount of news coverage about
that? No.
You know, it's just the live, I guess maybe because one is closer to home and one is far away. But still, 170 versus 6. And who's getting the live press conferences? That owner of the mine in Utah, which, honestly, he needs a lesson in media relations.
Yeah, no kidding.
That man is sad.
No kidding.
Sad, but, oh, well, just my opinion. Supposed to disagree, Joe.
100, I know him, but I do. I agree. That's the problem. Maybe we should fight. So 170, are they still alive?
No, they don't know.
They're trying to find them.
They've dammed up the leak, and now they're pumping the water out, but they don't know. It's sad. But mining is such a big industry in China because they're so coal-based. Everything they do is coal-based.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, and that was the other thing about this whole series of recalls. Some people are saying, or this whole series of consumer products that are tainted from China, perhaps this is a timed event to slow down China's economy. Because here come the Olympics in a year, and their economy is on fire. It's growing at, 12% a year? They can't even control the growth. And we're their number one customer. They fund our trade deficit, and is this all a coincidence that this is happening?
So it's a conspiracy theory.
It is a conspiracy theory. But then one other thing that just happened yesterday is now the Chinese government is getting in the act, and they are going to put their own – they're going to do their own toy inspections of factories. But – they've said that they're going to put a moratorium on shipping for 1 month, which is going to totally screw up our holiday season.
Yeah,
which
no kidding.
There will be a massive outcry as soon as that gets out. I heard it was just on CNN last night.
For all exports?
Yeah,
all
for
toy
all
exports?
Exports by region. We heard, for example, in the Ningbo region, this just happened yesterday, Ningbo region, they've stopped accepting applications for this local commodity inspection, which any company in that region has to have this inspection before they're allowed to let their toys go to the port, that they're not accepting applications for 1 more month. And that is varying. The amount of days is varying by region. But if that's the case, it means you're going to have a really hard time even getting a toy for Christmas. And everybody will be in a major outcry. I mean, everybody will be screaming about that because we're talking now in August that, we want toys to be safe. But, you know, I think that
bring us the lead toys.
Bring us those lead toys instead because we want something.
Because I don't spend enough time with my kid. He needs toys.
Right.
He needs lead toys to represent my love.
Or else it's going to be all about electronics this year because you can't die from looking at DVD, right?
Well,
or
they'll come up with something.
Or an iPod.
The lawyers will find something.
Right. So we'll see how that plays out because that would put havoc on everybody if you really can't ship. If we're really delayed.
What will that do to you guys?
Because the Chinese government is trying to get their finger in the pie to show that they're being reactive, or, you know, proactive.
Yeah, the world's watching them. They got to do something.
They got to do something. Yeah. So.
How will that affect your company?
Oh, it would be a nightmare because we got really? Huge program shipping for
and for Christmas all the is a big time.
Oh yeah, this is when they're leaving right now. This is the peak season. Right. If they're not on a boat in the next month, they're not going to be in the store.
Right.
So you know, it's interesting. Stay tuned. Watch your shelves. There may not be anything. I'd buy now if you're thinking about buying for Christmas.
See, it's a big tip from this and that with Jeff and Gretchen. All right. Well, I think that's a, you know, I have no timing device on me, so I have no idea how long we've been yabbering away.
It's probably time.
Probably time, though. So, we'll wrap up the show the way we always do with my, you know, goodbye song. No, I'm not going to sing a goodbye song. I never do a goodbye song.
Maybe you should work on that.
I should work on a goodbye song. Goodbye.
What's the so long farewell? What's that one?
So long farewell. Albeiters ain't to you.
Yeah, that's it.
Good night. So that's going to be the show. We will be back.
If
we
weeks.
Don't keep sucking lead down. Lead.
That's right.
In a couple weeks or so. So say goodbye, Gretchen.
Goodbye, Gretchen and Jeff.
And goodbye, Dallas. Ciao.